This morning's scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 6, starting at verse 51. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you've betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right of God. At this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to continue with a series we've taking a sort of a break from, about resurrection encounters. And the emotions surrounding some of these resurrection encounters and how we feel. Today we're going to look at hurt. I want to remind everyone again that God created us with emotions. Emotions are not a bad thing. God did not create us, if you're into sci-fi, to be Vulcans. He created us to be human with all the emotions. And emotions can be a gift to God to take us to the place we need to be. They tell us a lot of things about ourselves. We've talked before about the fact that these different emotions, fear can either lead us to anxiety or fear can lead us to wisdom. That good feeling of gladness can lead us to desire and seek pleasure at all costs. Or it can give us joy to know that there are good times, that good times can come. Sadness can lead to self-pity or acceptance. Doubt can lead to either mistrust and cynicism or to assurance. And guilt and shame can either lead to toxic shame or pride or humility and forgiveness. Today, of course, we're going to look at hurt or pain. Pain is something in us that tells us there's a problem. Something's wrong. This is why C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's megaphone to tell us that we live in a fallen world. Pain lets us know something's not right here. And all you have to do is turn on the news and you know something's not right here. In fact, you don't even have to do that. Sometimes all you do is get up out of bed and maybe even look in the mirror, I don't know, and you know there's something wrong. You get up, you look, it's like, hey, I used to have hair. Something's not right here. Or maybe you get up and say, yeah, I used to have hair, but now I look really good.
Amen to that.
We're going to move on. Pain, what I want to call pain today, as we're looking at, is specifically pain caused by other people. This is what I'm going to call hurt. This is going to be our, when I say hurt today, I'm talking about pain caused by another person. When hurt or pain comes into our lives, it can bring us to a place where we are resentful. They did this to us. Or pain can lead us to a place of healing and courage. As we looked at Stephen today, Stephen preached a message. And though eventually we're going to get to the part where they hurt him, actually his words actually hurt them. They didn't like them. They hurt because it revealed to them their own hypocrisy. It revealed to them that, hey, their forefathers had done wrong things, and they were following in the same path. And that hurt. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be told when I've messed up. Do you? Yeah, I really don't. Now, I'll be honest, I need to know sometimes. I'm not asking you to all volunteer to find everything I'm doing wrong in my message, please, because I know I'm not perfect. But occasionally we need people to come along and say, hey, there's a problem here. You know, you need somebody to come up and say, by the way, you need to button your shirt or something. Or sometimes it's like, did you realize you quoted the wrong scripture? Oh, rats. I didn't do that right. Not too long ago, we were going through our Bible reflections, and it was pointed out, and I'd caught it too, thankfully, that I had written down that it was the Syrians that were going to be defeated by Damascus, and it was the other way around. It's like, oh my goodness. But somebody needed to come. They needed to know that. I needed to know that something had been wrong. Do I like being wrong? No. But there are times in our lives somebody coming around and saying to us something that, in a sense, hurts us is good for us. Pain, sometimes, we don't always like it, but lets us do or get something worked out. The religious leaders, of course, they didn't like what Stephen said. I'm sure when later on, when Saul, who's in this story, got knocked down by Jesus, it caused him pain, it caused him hurt, because all of a sudden he realized what he was doing was wrong. He thought he was doing the right thing. I won't persecute these Christians. I'm going to kick against Christ. And Jesus came along, knocked him down, and said, paraphrased, what are you doing, dummy? You can't kick against me. And that hard experience, that painful experience, caused Saul to change his ways. Sometimes words that I'm going to speak is going to hurt. I'm not up here to hurt anybody's feelings or try to make you feel bad or to give you pain. But sometimes things that I teach, because trying to teach from the Word of God, is going to bring pain. Why? Because it points out something within us that's not good. It's kind of like getting that report card back from your teacher, or that paper back from your teacher, and you see all these beautiful red marks. And it's not because it's Christmas time. You need to know why, so you can get better. That's the whole idea. But these words that Stephen gave, they weren't meant to as an accusation saying, you're horrible people, I hope you all go to hell. No. He was trying to point out truth to them. But they were angry. As we've talked before, when about the time they were filling with rage, Jesus came along and gave Stephen a vision. And by all proper way of doing thing, what the Sanhedrin should have done was say, hold it, we've had somebody claim for a vision, we need to take a break and study to see if this thing is true or not. That was their protocol. And they didn't follow it. They stuck their fingers in the air and said, we're not going to pay attention to this, we don't like what we hear, this hurts, so we're going to hurt the person who hurt us. But you know, sometimes people hurt people who aren't the people that hurt them. This is one of the reasons we need to deal with the hurt in our lives. Because if we don't, it builds up within us and it builds up resentment. And then all of a sudden you don't just attack or say something against that person who said something to you, but you attack those people, usually what it is, those people who are innocent or those people who are close to you, and you lash out at them and you hurt, actually, the ones you love. Why? Because you're not dealing with that hurt. You're not dealing with that pain. The Sanhedrin should have listened to this and they've accepted it. They should have said, hey, We got a problem. We need to deal with it. But instead, what they did is they killed Stephen, and then they laid their coats in front of Saul. And the idea was that Saul was supposed to be taking up the mantle of their anger and their bitterness and attack the Christians. Attack those people who they were angry with. And isn't that what happens sometimes? We get filled with hurt. We get filled with that resentment. And instead of dealing with it the way Jesus would, we lash out, or we find people who will lash out for us. Sometimes I think that's what happens when people watch some of these talk radio people or talk people on TV. They can lash out at the people I wish I could lash out on. No, that's not the Jesus way to handle it. That's the Sanhedrin way to handle it. And as there are a lot of things in the Bible, there are the two type of examples. The example we shouldn't follow and the example we should follow. But like I said, Stephen's words caused pain. But now when we receive that pain, we need to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to respond to the pain that it's being caused in our lives, in this hurt? This is scriptures I mentioned, but I talked about a little before. The fact that pain isn't always a bad thing. The pain of Paul being knocked down brought him to the place where, or Saul knocked down brought him to the place where he became Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Paul talks about the fact that he had written a letter and his words had hurt and brought sorrow to the people of Corinth. He said, but it led them to change their lives. So sometimes what feels bad is trying to lead us to good. And then, of course, we read, often mention Paul's thorn in the flesh, which we've never told what it is, but this pain, this hurt was good for Paul. Sometimes pain's good. I don't know about you. Does anybody here really like? Don't, let's not answer that question. Let's don't ask that question. Most of us don't like pain at all. I don't. But I do realize sometimes pain and hurt is good for me. But the thing is about it, we have to make sure it leads us to the right place. And with Stephen, we see, in contrast to the Sanhedrin, who lashed out and tried to hurt someone else, tried to hurt Stephen, tried to spread that hurt out to others, Stephen reacted differently. When Stephen is being hurt, he's being attacked. What does he do? We see him commit himself to God. Reminds me of somebody else. Oh, yeah, his name was Jesus. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Earlier, what did he say when he knew what was coming? Father, if it's possible, let this pass, but if not, I'll do it. I'll go that path. Stephen, the example we should look at and learn from, when he is being hurt or prepared to be hurt, he committed himself to God. And ultimately, at the end of the day, especially when people try to hurt us, are we going to commit ourselves to God's hands, or are we going to commit ourselves to our own plan? Are we going to commit ourselves, say, God, I'm going to let you work this out, or are we going to work with somebody else? You're just right here. You'll be really good. You know, we need to get her because she's been having trouble, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And we got to get, we'll let's work. Hold on a second. You know, what do we sometimes we do? We're hurt because someone says something about it. Instead of committing it to God, we commit it to someone else. You know, they said this. We should get back at them. Except maybe we don't say it that way. We need a prayer request. we need to pray for so-and-so's attitude because they're a sneaking low-life individual. Okay, we don't use those words, but we sort of put that in there, don't we? Why? Because we're not committing ourselves to God. We're not committing it to God. We're trying to fix it ourselves. Stephen, though, when he knew he was being hurt, committed himself to God, which is what we're called to do. Also, Stephen does this thing, which is hard. He forgave. He wasn't just forgiving later on. He was forgiving while the stones were coming at him. He forgave while the pain was still being committed against him. You know, that's the thing. Sometimes we're like, once everything gets over, then I'll get over it. And that's, we do need to get over it sometime, eventually. But if we're doing the way God wants us to, we want to be living a life when the pain comes, we turn it over to God. God, I forgive these people. They're still after me. They're still trying to hurt me. I forgive them. Now, we've talked before that if somebody's actually trying to hurt you, it doesn't mean you stay in that relationship or you stay where you need to be hurt, which is a whole different sermon and a whole different message. But the action we need to give from our heart is the fact that we are giving this hurt, this pain, to God. We're committing it to Him. We're forgiving the people. And we're asking us, what does this mean? In the case of Stephen, his words were truth. He had done nothing wrong. In fact, part of his problem was the reason he was being brought in is because the people that were accusing him couldn't argue against him. Every time they tried to argue, they lost the argument. And that's one thing sometimes. If you want to tick people off, always be right. Sometimes people really don't like it when you're right. Stephen had done everything right. For some of us, I don't know, for me, I don't always do what's right. And when somebody says something, I need to look at it and say, you know what? Sometimes maybe they meant it for evil, but God can show me, yeah, I need to forgive them because their attitude was wrong, but you know what? What they said was true, and I need to change something. But at the end of the day, what I've got to do, whatever their attitude is I've got to be willing to let it go, let it get to God, and let this pain take me to a place that is helpful and not hurtful. Sometimes pain tells us you shouldn't be there. If you bump up against a stove, I'm sure nobody else has accidentally put their hand on a hot stove here. I'm the only one who's done this. And my daughter, oldest daughter. Yeah, you put your hand there and all of a sudden those pain receptors say, you know what, you shouldn't be here. And you pull it back. It's the same with hurt. Hurt says there's a problem. Sometimes the problem is the other person and you need to let it go. Other times that hurt is telling you you've moved into a place you shouldn't. And not only do you need to forgive, maybe, but also you need to change something in here. As Stephen was being prepared to be killed, though, what does Jesus do? Jesus is there for him. And Stephen has this resurrection encounter. He sees the risen Savior standing there. Stephen's going to die in a few minutes. He's going to be stoned to death, which isn't pleasant. And Stephen looks up and sees Jesus. We may never see Jesus physically in this world, If you do, you may need to be concerned because maybe it's leading, something's coming. But if you allow what's happening to you to lead you to Christ, let me tell you something. You will see Jesus. He will be there for you, and He will help you when the pain comes your way. We can't ignore pain. It's going to come. We're going to ask ourselves, how are we going to deal with it? Are we going to let it lead us to good? Are we going to let it lead us to anger, resentment, or pain? The prophet Habakkuk was looking at the nation around him. And he was saying, God, and I'm going to paraphrase it, we need revival because our nation is a mess. How many have ever prayed that prayer? And God says, this is my paraphrase. God says, I got it covered. I got a plan. And if I told you, you just wouldn't believe it. And Habakkuk, like we would, has like, that's the way I picture it anyway. And God says, okay, here's the plan. I want to bring the Babylonians in and they're going to wipe everything out. Excuse me? What? That would be like God coming, speaking to us, say, God, we want revival. We want you to do something great in our country. And God says, I've got a plan. I want to bring the Russians in, and Putin is going to be your new president. How many in favor of this? Nobody's raising your hand. Now, let me ask something. If God said this was the answer to our problems, how many maybe resentfully or don't like the idea, say, okay, I'll accept that? That's what Habakkuk was going through. And what is it? What is his words? He says, I heard and my heart pounded. It hurt. Because sometimes the words of God gives, they're going to hurt because we don't like it. We don't like what it means. He says, my lip quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Then he says this, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come upon the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop failed, the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet as the deer, feet of deer. He enables them to tread on high places. See, even when the hurt comes, we can look to God. And though part of us can maybe quiver within us, we can know that if God's on our side, He's going to lift it up. And it's going to be okay. So let's trust Him today. Though the words hurt, let us lead us to God. To bring change into our lives or forgiveness is needed. Because we can choose what we're going to do with our hurt. We can let it turn to resentment, or we can turn it to a place where we can learn forgiveness or have the courage to face whatever the trial that's going to come. This morning we're going to prepare to take communion. Jesus, offered Himself for us. So let's take it together. Christ invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will consistently. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not heard the cry of the needy. We have spoken ill of our neighbor. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we are yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks
and praise. It is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father God, Creator of heaven and earth. You made from one every nation and people to live on the face of the earth. And so with all your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from the slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by the water and by the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the end of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family all over the world is joining at his holy table. On the night when Jesus gave himself, he took bread. He gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Today we are partaking of what is called matzah bread. The bread from Passover, with the holes and the stripes to remind us of our Savior's love and his gift for us. When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. And we proclaim the mysteries of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these the gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be to the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. The body of our Lord, let us partake together. The blood of our Lord poured out for us. Let us partake. Father, renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation, among every people. To witness faithfully in your name, by your Spirit, make us one with Christ. One with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at the heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory be yours. Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, Father, I ask you to bless these one that have come here and let them go forth and be the body of Christ to the world around them. May your blessing be upon each one and let them renew their spirit and their connection with you again today as they have partaken of this, your body and blood. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Here this morning that I would like to come up with me on the stage. So I'll invite the valedictorian up. You're all right. All right, so RJ's been a huge part of the youth group since I've been here, and I'm really glad to know him. I'm excited for what God's going to do in his future. And we want to present him with a Bible today. It's heavy. It's big. We hope that you'll use it. It's a nice Bible. One of my favorites. But what are you planning to do? I won't ask you to do your valedictorian speech, even though I'd love to. I know how much you'd love to do that too, but we don't have the time. So what are you planning to do now that you're graduated from high school?
Starting in August, I will be going to Ball State to study cybersecurity.
Cool. What kind of job are you hoping to get after? I'm in cybersecurity. Yeah. Good stuff. Awesome. So I won't keep him up here too long because I know how much he loves the spotlight, and that's too much fun for him. So I will ask anyone who is willing and wants to come up, and we're going to pray over him. There's a prayer, the Lorica of Fursa, that I love to pray over all the graduates. So if anyone is wanting to come up and pray with us, lay hands on RJ as he starts his next journey in life, I'd invite you up now, and we'll pray that prayer over him. Father, we thank you for RJ, his life, his witness, and his heart for you, God. We pray this blessing over him today. May the guiding hands of God be on your shoulders. May the presence of the Holy Spirit be on your head. May the sign of Christ be on your forehead. May the voice of the Holy Spirit be in your ears. May the smell of the Holy Spirit be in your nose. May the sight of the company of heaven be in your eyes. May the speech of the company of heaven be in your mouth. May the work of the church of God be in your hands. May the serving of God and your neighbor be in your feet. May God make your heart his own. And may you belong to God, your Father, completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless these ones as they go forth today. May your spirit go with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you and go with God.